Chayamid Bays, 11 lines from the top. It says, Amar Mar. Amar Mar. Okay. Before the Gemara was bringing down about, you know, if you're over one Yom Tev, two Yom Tevim, if you make a neder, a nedava, this whole thing. So the Gemara brought down a braisim that brought down a number of laws in as far as the if you delay the carbon. And one of the dinim was, Amar Mar, we said before, l'sa'achid l'shalmi, that the Torah says you're not allowed to delay paying the carbon. It means if you promised a carbon, you have either one yom tov, two yom tov, three yom, all the various opinions we learned before. But who v'lechilufav? That only applies to the actual carbon, but not the substitute. What happens if you had a carbon and then you substituted it? You made a chalipin in an exchange for another carbon, so you have to bring the second animal. So that second animal, there's no din that you must bring it by a certain time, because it says who leisa'achel leshalmei, you shouldn't delay paying it back. So what's it excluding? It and not its exchange. So the Gemara asks, Chulufi Mai. The Gemara is just trying to get practical. What exchanging are we talking about? He says, if you're exchanging an ola, a burnt offering or a peace offering, mikrev kaved, for sure you have to bring it. What do you mean? If the Torah says you have to bring it, it has to be offered anyway. Meaning, there's a din as follows. If somebody takes a carbon sacrifice, the animal, the sacrifice, and they said, you know what, I want to bring a different carbon, I'm exchanging one for the next, the din is, both have to be brought as a carbon.
Mm-hmm.
That's the din. You can't exchange carbonas.
You see,
the original, even, it doesn't matter if you knew or didn't know. It doesn't matter. That's not loch. It doesn't matter if you know or didn't know. You make a carbon.
Once it's designated.
Once it's designated as a carbon,
yeah.
Even if you want to exchange it, you can't exchange a carbon.
Like carbon paper.
Correct, carbon paper. Now, therefore, the din is, you have to bring both. So now the Gemara asks, if you're exchanging a carbon oila or shlamim, so now the new animal has to be brought as an obligation anyway. So the Gemara says, of course you have to bring it in time.
Mm-hmm.
You still have three yamim tevim. Ichalu fichatos. If you're exchanging a carbon chatos, meaning you had a sin offering and now you're exchanging it. And like, what do you mean you're exchanging it? So Rashi explains, what happened was like this. A person designated a carbon chatos. The animal got lost. You have to make another one. Then you found the first one. So now what do you do? So the din is, lemisa ozla. Then the din is, it's left to die. Meaning,
you bring the carbon chatos, the second one?
No, you bring the first one. You designate an animal for a chatos, correct? Now, okay, let me explain. A gift you can give whenever you want to the Beis HaMikdash. If somebody didn't sin, you can't bring a sin offering, right? If you brought one sin offering and you were forgiven, you can't just go bring another one, right? So the Gemara says, what type of carbon are we talking about? If you don't have a carbon oila or shlamim, which are basically donating carbonis, so then both have to be brought. Then even if one is brought, you still have to bring the other one in time. Okay? What happens though, like the Gemara says, you bring a sin offering, and now you bring, you designate the sin offering. Then the animal gets lost. So you have to make another one, you still need a sin offering. So you dedicated another animal. Then they found the first one, and they brought it. What do you do with the second animal now? The problem is, you can't bring it as a sin offering because you already atoned. You already brought a sin offering.
Yeah.
And you can't make it a non... You can't just go eat it for barbecue dinner because it's a carbon.
Yeah.
So what do you do?
You sin
again. Good idea. The Gemara didn't think that way. Yeah, we would say, why don't you just sin again? Yeah, I don't even know if that would work because...
It's
you dedicate it before you sin. You have to dedicate it after you sin.
After you do it.
So the din is, you let the second animal just roam until it dies.
You don't make any use out of it.
You can't.
Nothing.
It's a carbon. You can't. Right. I mean, it's dedicated as a carbon, yeah. But you can't bring it like an ola or shlamin, which are donations. So you bring two donations. Big deal. But here you can't bring it because you're already atoned for the first with the first animal.
So they have to feed that animal and keep it alive.
You just let it go. I mean, obviously
the same thing that Shoyfet.
If
he's cutting a chicken and doesn't have completely cut it and is still living, they have to live.
It's a problem. All these cases.
Yeah.
I don't know if you feed it. Maybe you do feed it. It said you basically, the Gemara's expression is you let it graze until it dies. Until it dies. So obviously you feed it. I mean, you take care of it, but you don't.
And you can't use it for any other type of korban.
No, because each korban has its own designations on halachas. Mm-hmm. Where you squirt the blood, what you do with the blood, why, how you, you know, everything is different. So therefore, the Gemara's question is as follows. You're talking about the exchanging of an animal that you don't have to bring it on time. So the Gemara says, if you're talking about a designated Eilo Shlamim, of course you have to bring both. If you're talking about a Chatos, the Gemara says, Lemisaz, it's left to die anyway. So you don't bring it anyway as a carbon. So what type of carbon are we speaking about that if it itself has to be brought before three Yamim Tefim, but the exchanging doesn't? What type of carbon are we speaking about? Mm-hmm. So the Gemara answers, Amar Chalufav of a carbon Teidah. Now, a carbon Teidah is basically for things that we bench Goymel for. You know, person traveled, whatever it is. And the din was, and before we understand the Gemara, a carbon teda, you know, like we know, why don't we say Mizmah L'Seidah on Pesach? Or Erev Pesach. We already omit Mizmah L'Seidah for the 8 days of Pesach, including Erev Pesach is 9 days. Why? Because together with the Thanksgiving offering, they had to bring 40 loaves of bread. 40 loaves of bread had to be brought with the carbon.
Mm.
Okay? And that's chametz. Now, you can't bring a half a carbon. When you bring a carbon, it's either all or none. So if you want to bring a carbon taida and you're going to have to bring loaves of bread, you can't do that on Pesach.
What do you do with the loaves of bread? What do they eat it? Or
the kohen mate, you ate it. I mean, there's a whole halacha, what was called lachmi taida. Now, by the way, that's why we don't say Mizmah L'Seidah on Shabbos. Every day we say Mizmah L'Seidah after Baruch Shamar, and Shabbos we don't. Why? Because carbon taida was a private carbon. And private carbonus you didn't bring on Shabbos. Only the communal karbanis that you had to bring, shachris, musaf, you know, that you're able to bring on Shabbos. A private karban.
Pull it with you on Shabbos?
Huh?
Can pull the animal through the streets on Shabbos?
Well, that's only midrabanis, so that would they would allow, but you can't shach the karban. It's biblical transgressions. So if it's a karban, you have to bring that day. The Torah says you have to bring, not only a Shabbos, is not only the regular karban, we have musaf, an extra karban. But those are only the karbanos that the Torah says you have to bring. Because a karban is desecration of Shabbos.
Mm-hmm.
Killing, I mean, all everything involved. A lot of melachas are involved in bringing a karban. Burning, shechting, tanning, taking off the hide. I mean, mafshit. I mean, there's a lot of dinim involved. The Torah says you have to do it, you have to do it. But if a guy wants to bring a personal donation, you don't do that on Shabbos.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Mizmah L'Seidah was a private karban. In fact, that's the whole interesting, it doesn't apply this year, it applied last year. The famous Gemara in Pesachim, that they forgot the halacha, an old Mufashim, what do you mean you forgot the halacha? But everybody, Bnei Beseder, who were the leaders of the Jewish people at that time, forgot the halacha, is the Korban Pesach, when Erev Pesach falls out on Shabbos, like it did last year, if you remember,
mm-hmm.
Do you bring a Korban Pesach on Shabbos? The question is a private carbon, is it a public carbon? It's a private carbon, but the Torah says, B'maya adayin, it's time. The bottom line of it is, a private carbon, you're not allowed to bring on Shabbos. Now, the carbon Taidah had 40 loaves of bread. Together with the carbon.
How big is the loaf?
Whatever, I don't remember the size. I don't remember all the
bilkalah.
A bilkalah, maybe. I don't remember all the dinners. It's a whole separate inyan in kachim.
Matter of minhag or what? The shvadik they say mishmore to die erev Shabbat
before mincha or in the morning.
No, lechun eranena.
Yeah.
All and then we finish by mishmore to die.
It's benching gaimel that you made it through
the week. And in Beit Jacob they have printed, you know, Eibdut Hashem b'simcha. That's a shavuot and then mizmore toda.
We say Heidu and Patach Aliyo.
Okay.
Okay. You say Patach Aliyo. We say Heidu Hashem Friday before Mincha.
Okay.
That's in the Baal Shem Tov to say. That's similar to Mizmor LeSeida, because that's the four people that bench Goyimul. So because the Baal Shem Tov said you made it through the week, you have to bench a Goyim. made it through the week, so you say Kuv Zayin. Anyway, so the Gemara says as follows: what exchanging are we talking about? If you're talking about Teida, the Gemara says Chalufa Teida. What do you mean the carbon Teida? Because the Gemara says the Tana Rabchia said the following. Teida shenasadiv b'tmura also, if a teida became mixed up with this carbon teida,
what have you mixed up?
Huh?
What is the mixed up?
No, you exchange it. Oh. No, you exchange it. Now you don't know which one's which. That means you had a carbon teida, it got lost or whatever. You designated another one, or you just exchanged it. But now you found the other one. Then it says as follows. And one of them died. The second animal cannot be brought. It cannot be offered. There's no remedy. What does this mean? Let me explain the case very simply outside. A guy brings designates a carbon teida. For whatever reason it is, either he didn't like the animal, got lost, whatever, he made another one. So now there's two carbon teidas. They got one's the original, one's the exchange. They got mixed up. They got mixed up. You don't know which one's which. And one of them died. And you don't know which animal died. Now, so the Gemara says, "Hey Chalav, what should you do? Likrav Rebbe Likrav Lechem Bahadei. Should you bring this animal with its bread? You can't. Dilma Tmurahu. Maybe it's only the substitute, and the din is the substitute is not brought with bread. Meaning, this is, so to speak, a crazy case. Only the original is brought with the 40 loaves of bread. The exchanged one isn't.
Doesn't
demand the bread. And if it doesn't demand the bread, you're not allowed to bring the bread. Because you can't just bring things to the base of Migdash. Like I said, okay, I'll just bring a sin offering. You can't. If you're not obligated in it, you're not allowed to bring it. Right? So now you have a case as follows. The guy designated a carbon teida, Thanksgiving carbon. Then it got lost. He made another one. He found the first one, which is the original. Now both are holy. So if they didn't die, normally what do? You bring them both together with the 40 loaves of bread. And whichever animal is the carbon teida, the real one, you bring the 40 loaves of bread. Now, both animals have to be brought as a carbon, because that's the din. If I exchange an animal, both become holy. Both are carbonis. Except one demands the 40 loaves of bread, one doesn't. So what's the advice? Very simply. I take both animals, I bring them as a carbon, together, plus the 40 loaves of bread, and everything's fine.
Same case as the oil of a shulman.
Right. But over there, there's no loaves of bread.
Yeah. No.
Now the problem is, one of the animals died and you don't know which one died. Maybe the original died. Maybe the exchange died. So the Gemara says, what are you going to do? You're going to bring the animal with the 40 loaves of bread? Maybe the original died. This is only the exchange. And the exchange, you're not allowed to bring the 40 loaves of bread. Well, should you bring it without the 40 loaves of bread? Maybe the exchange died. This is the original that demands the 40 loaves of bread, and you're going to bring a half a carbon. You're not Yetzer. So what do you do? So it says, what do you do? So you have no solution for it. So therefore, the Gemara says, you can't bring it as a carbon. So simply, the Gemara says, it doesn't fall into the category of the prohibition of not delaying the carbon, because you can't bring it anyway. Right? You can't bring it. So the Gemara says, but even if lav basa krovo, if you can't bring it, krola mute lameli, why do I need the pasuk to tell me you can't, you're not transgressing bal ta'achet? If you can't bring it, of course you're not limited by the time to bring it. You're not allowed to bring it. In other words, the Gemara says very simple. We said before in the Gemara, in the Braisa, the animal itself, you have to bring in the proper time. The exchange not. You don't have to bring the exchange in the proper time. So the Gemara said, what exchange are you talking about? If you're about Eilu Shlomim, it has to be brought in the proper time. You don't matter Chatos. Chatos is said before, you can't do it anyway. Okay? Like it says, the animal has to die. It's not brought as a carbon. If you're talking about a carbon taida, you have a problem. What do you do with the animal? You can't bring it, because maybe it needs the 40 loaves of bread. You can't bring it, maybe it doesn't need the 40 loaves of bread. You don't know what to do. So you don't do anything. So the Gemara asks, if you don't do anything, of course you can't be over Baal Ta'achet. Of course you can't be over not bringing it on time. You don't bring it at all. So what is the Pasuk? The Gemara is coming back to its original question. What is the Pasuk excluding by saying it has to be brought on time, but its exchange doesn't? What type of exchange are we talking about?
Okay.
So the Gemara says, Amir Avsheshes, Avsheshes answers, mm-hmm. It's speaking that you have to it's the exchanging of the oil or shlom. The Gemara said before, then you have to bring it anyway. Mm-hmm. So the Gemara says, what happened is as follows. Hacha b'mayaskin is speaking, k'gain sha'avru all of shnei regalim. A guy, it's cases like this. A guy designated a carbon, Eila, or Shlomen. Two Yomim Tevim went by. He didn't bring it yet. Mm-hmm. He has one more Yom Tev left, right? Mm-hmm. Now the animal got a blemish. Mm-hmm. A blemish disqualifies it from being a carbon. Mm-hmm. So you have to get another carbon. Now this new carbon, do you have only one Yom Tev or three Yom Tevs? Mm-hmm. You know, two Yom Tevs went by already. So for the original, one more Yom Tov, you transgress. Right? But now, after two Yom Tovs, the first animal, the original animal, got a blemish. Now you exchange it for another carbon, because you have to bring a carbon. You promised yourself a carbon. Now this new carbon, does it need one Yom Tov to transgress? Or do you start again from the three? Mm-hmm. That's the case. So he says, Kegain Sha'al Vara Olav Shnei Regalim Vahuma. Two Yomim Tevim went by, and the animal had a blemish. V'chil le'alach, and he transferred it. You exchange it for another one. Va'arved all of regal echod, and now another Yom Tev passed by, and you still didn't bring it. So now the shaila is as follows: I would think, hoil mikoch kama ka'ose, because the substitute is coming in the place of the original, and just like the original has one Yom Tev to go. This one Yom Tov would make you transgress. Mi command over all of Shalosh Shugalim. I would think it's considered as if you passed over three Yom Tovim and you get a sin. Kamash Malan, it teaches us no, that you have another three Yom Tovim. Okay, it's very simple. I would think because it's a substitute for the original, you only have one more Yom Tov to go. So Gemara says no, even though it's a substitute, you have three Yom Tovim to go. Huh? Oh, because it has to be brought on time, but its exchange, not. It has to be brought before the three Yomim Tevim. But doesn't say, bring it, bring. It said, L'shalmai, bring it. It and not the exchange. So therefore, even though halachically you need three Yomim Tevim, and after three Yomim Tevim, you transgress not bring a good carbon, in this case, even though the exchange is coming from the power of the first one, you still have three more Yom Tovim to go.
What's the solution for that person that in the first
Nothing.
Case there is no solution for that?
Right.
That wasn't for the
so basically snuff. The animal would have to basically hang around until it dies.
Yes. But the person himself, that was not the sin offering that he was bringing.
Right? No, it's a Thanksgiving offering.
Oh, so it's okay. So he's just not going to do a Thanksgiving offering, that's all.
Yeah, I mean...
And how do you keep I mean, for us, it's getting close enough and get the bargetting close enough.
what the kid.
Not allowed to get an even off from it. Right. Right.
Right. Right.
So what do they have to do? Segregate the thing?
Yeah. Just let it graze and can't use it. You can't.
They got to make sure that they don't get it confused with the others.
What some people do, which you're not allowed to do, is, let's say today, what do you do with a firstborn animal in Eretz Yisrael? A b'char, today, still has a kedusha. Mm-hmm. The problem is we don't have a base of migdash to bring it. Mm-hmm. Right? Now, so what do you do? So technically, the halacha is you let it graze until it, they have legal loopholes, you sell it to a guy, or before it's born, whatever, but what do you do with that? Then is you have to let it graze until it dies. Or until it gets a blemish. Then it loses its kedusha status because it has a mum. So what you're not allowed to do is put it into a very thin pen with barbed wire that should get stuck and broken. People do it, but you're not allowed to, really. Because mm-hmm. you can't make a mum, you know, you can't put a mum in it, so to speak.
Couldn't the person designate a third one again? Forget about the second one. Take a new one and bring it with a loaf of bread.
The 40 loaves of bread?
Yes.
I don't know if that would work. Now what do you have to do? 1 second, let me see.
Yes, I had in mind the same thing.
I don't know what the din would be. I don't know, maybe. Maybe. I don't know. Okay, but now the Gemara asks, that's only good according to the opinion that you have 3 Yamim Tevin to transgress. Mm-hmm. But Rav Meir says, Akiv and Shavar Olav Regel Echot, once 1 Yom Tev goes by, Eiver B'Bal Te'achad, you're already transgressing Bal Te'achad, so how do you have a case of an exchange?
Exchange, yes.
Because if you exchange it before the Yom Tev,
yeah.
you have to bring it by that Yom Tev. Amar Rava, Rava says as follows. Hachem HaEskin is speaking, Shehumim B'Techa Regel, during Yom Tev it got a blemish. In the middle of Yom Tov, it got a blemish. V'chilalei, mm-hmm. and he exchanged it. V'avar olav haregel, now the Yom Tov passed by. Mm-hmm. In other words, 12 o'clock by day, during the day of Yom Tov, the animal got a blemish. He exchanged it for another animal. Now the Yom Tov is over and he still didn't bring it. Mm-hmm. So, I would think, the fact that it's coming because of the first animal. Commander of olav haregel, it's like the whole Yom Tov passed by. Because for the first original animal, the whole Yom Tov passed by.
Yeah.
Kamash Malan, it says, no, he's not liable because you need a full Yom Tov to pass by to be able to transgress. So the guy has another chance until the next Yom Tov.
Because the blemishes happen in Yom Tov.
Right. And then the Braisa concluded, then before, meaning if you delay payment of the neder, you get a sin. What does it mean, you get a sin? So it says, v'leibe karban chachet. But the carbon doesn't get a sin. What is it? No, it's a very interesting concept. You bring you designate a carbon. You have 1 Yom Tev or 3 Yom Tev, whatever the opinions, right, to bring it. What happens if the 3 Yom Tev went by and you didn't bring it? Is the carbon kosher or not? Can you still bring the carbon or not?
Well, wait.
The Pasuk says, you will get a sin. Meaning, the animal is still a kosher carbon. But you got a sin for not bringing it on time. But it didn't invalidate the carbon.
But you can't bring it.
Yes, you could.
Or you
That's what I'm saying. It's still a carbon that has to be brought.
But the evidence
you got a sin for not bringing it on time. But the Torah says, you got a sin. What does it mean? The animal didn't sin. Meaning, the animal is still valid carbon. It still has the din of kedusha of a carbon. You have to bring it as a carbon. Because certain times, you not only invalidate, as the Gemara is going to say, not only do you invalidate, you get a sin, but you invalidate the carbon.
Mm-hmm. Now you need another carbon.
Right. For instance, if somebody has what's called pigul. Pigul, as we'll soon see in the Gemara, means that the time of the shechita, every carbon has its time you're allowed to eat it. One day and a night, we say Nezel Mekayman, a day and a night, 2 days and a night, whatever. What happens when you shecht the carbon, or they're shechting the carbon for you, you think I'm going to eat it after the time. That thought invalidates the korban. It's not a kosher korban. You have to bring another one. The korban's not a kosher animal anymore. So over there you did a sin, plus the animal's not good. But in this case, the pasuk says, if you didn't bring the korban on time, because you delayed 3 yamim tevim, you get a sin, but the korban's still kosher. The korban has to be brought anyway. So the Gemara asks, why does the Braisa say, that you will get a sin, and the offering doesn't become invalid, meaning you still have to bring it? Why do you say you learn it out from this pasuk? Why do you learn it out from here? We learn it out from the din of Achedim. What does it say, Achedim? The Tanya we learned in the Braisa, Achedim say, I would think that a b'chor that passed the first year,
Chayim is Chayim is the one.
No, Achayim, who is Achayim? Literally means other people. But the Poskim write Achayim was Rab Meir.
Yeah, that's
right. Why was he called Achayim? Because those teachings we heard from Elisha ben Avuya, who became an apicatus and be called Acher. So the dinim Rav Meir heard from Acher, the Gemara calls it Achedim Emrim. Mm-hmm. Simply means others. But Acher, the Gemara didn't want to call him Elisha, but even on Pirkei Avos it says Elisha ben Avuya.
Yeah.
Because that was before he sinned. But after he sinned, the Meir still would learn Torah from him. The Meir, Acher became Mamish and Apikeri. He was one of the 4 people that entered the Paradis. You know, one became Meshuggah, one died. Well, Acher became an Apikeris, and Rabbi Kiva came out okay. So, Acher, whose name is Elisha ben Avuya, was a brilliant scholar, and the Meir still learned from him, even after he became an Apikeris. So the students asked the Meir, how do you learn from him? He's an Apikeris. So the Meir answered, I'm great enough to eat the fruit and spit out the pits. In other words, I know what's good and I know what's bad. The Gemara tells a story that Acher was riding a horse in Shabbos, which you're not allowed to, and Rav Meir was walking alongside him because he was an apicurus, but he still learned, and he was brilliant. So Elisha ben Avuya was riding a horse in Shabbos, and Rav Meir was walking alongside him, and in the middle of the learning, Acher stopped the horse, and he turned to Rav Meir and he said, based on the amount of hoof beats that the horse did, it's Tchum Shabbos. It's already, you know, the limitation that you're allowed to walk on Shabbos. Turn back. I'm going to keep going, but you have to turn back. Because for you, you keep Shabbos, I don't. So the Gemara says, the Tesis says, the Rishonim writes, whatever, that the teachings that Rav Meir heard from Acher, the Gemara didn't say it in Rav Meir's name because it was from Acher. The Gemara doesn't want to say it from Acher. It's the Gemara Acher Meir.
He never came
they
back.
They call him Abakoyres because he was a living. He knew the Elder Dean.
He knew everything.
Yeah.
But he was an he was a real Apikoyres.
He never pulled out a Tshuva.
He says, Tshuva chutz mi Acher.
What's that?
No, they tried to get him to do tshuva, and he said, "No, I know. I heard a voice from heaven that says everybody can do tshuva except Acher." Something like that.
What was his original name?
Elisha ben Avuya. Elisha. It's in Pirkei Avos. Elisha ben Avuya.
Maybe he came back in another lifetime to tshuva.
I think he did. Oh, he did. You know who it was? If I'm not mistaken. It's you know the famous story of Elazar ben Dodaya, the guy that sinned every sin in the book, and then he put his hand in between his head and he did tshuva and all that. If I'm not mistaken, I might be wrong. I have to double check it. But over there, and he finally Rabbi came out and said, Bachar Rabbi, and said, there's a guy that acquires his olam hazeh, olam haba in a second. You know this person. So there's a question that Lucheda. He did tshuva for the negativity, but he didn't do any positive mitzvahs.
No.
And you need positive mitzvahs to get the Gan Eden. Mm-hmm. Tshuva only removed the dirt that he gained by the negative mitzvahs. But So one answer is there's such a great level of tshuva that even the non-positive could become positive. But I believe there's another answer that he was a Gilgal of Acher. Mm. And Acher did do mitzvahs. Mm-hmm. And he came back again to do tshuva. And all the mitzvahs that Acher did before got him to Olam Haba. Something like that. Mm. Okay, anyway. So now the din is as follows. The Gemara is going to learn you have to eat the b'chod within the first year of its birth. If a b'chor was born, so the din is like we say in Ezel Mekrem, a b'chor nechal l'kehanim. You have to bring it, shechted as a korban, and the kohanim eat the b'chor. It's one of the 24 gifts that the kohanim get. So it says, yachol ye b'chor shavu shenasi. I would think that a b'chor that passed over a year already, kipsul and mekdashim v'yifsul, is like disqualified korbanis. And therefore you're not allowed to bring it anymore, and it's not a valid korban anymore. Talmud Lermes, so the pasuk says, v'chaltam v'nei Hashem alekecha. It says in the pasuk the following, you should eat before Hashem, meaning in Yerushalayim, ma'aseh d'goncha tirosh chavitzarecha, the tithing of your grain, your wine, and your oil, uv'cheres b'karcha v'tzeinecha, and the firstborn of your sheep and cattle. Okay? So in the same pasuk, the Torah likens ma'aseh, tithing, with a b'char. It says in the same pasuk, ma ma'aseh ein nifsel mishon l'chaveta, jasek ma'aseh sheni, that you eat in Yerushalayim. You can eat it whenever you want. It doesn't become disqualified from one year to the next. Av b'chod, the same thing. Ein enivso mishana lechavita. It doesn't become disqualified from one year to the next. Which means, even though the b'chod has to be brought in the first year, but if you didn't, it's still kosher.
He has a chet or not?
Oh, you have a chet, but the korban is still kosher. So the Gemara asks, so l'cheira, we see from here that even though sometimes the person sins, but the korban is kosher. So why do I need the pasuk over here to tell me v'ha'ya b'cha chet, that you sin but the animal is kosher? Why can't we learn it out from b'char? Why don't we learn it out from the concept of the firstborn? So the Gemara says, itzrach, I need both psukim. Why? Because I would think, Hani mili b'chor, maybe this pasuk only refers to b'chor, that it's still good. Why? The lav bar haratzohu, it's not a carbon to appease God. It's not a carbon, a b'chor, okay, I'll explain in a second. Aval kachim de b'nei haratzoh ninu, but carbonists which are normally to appease Hashem. Eima loy lirot, I would think, because they're late. They're not appeasing Hashem. Kamash Malan, it teaches us that they do. Normally, normal karbanis, as the pasuk says, is to appease Hashem. Leratzin. Even if it's a donated karban, not a sin offering, a donation, a nedava, the pasuk is still appeasing to Hashem. Bechar is a completely different category. Bechar, you have to give a gift to the kohen. That's the din. A firstborn animal is holy. The Torah says it's holy, you give it to the kohen as a gift. What does the kohen do with it? He shechts it and eats it as a korban. That has nothing to do with appeasing God. Mm-hmm. It's a gift you have to give to the kohen. So the Gemara says, just because a bechor could be brought late, and the korban is still kosher, doesn't mean that a regular korban could also be brought late and is kosher. Mm-hmm. Why? Because maybe I would think if you did something wrong by delaying it, by not bringing it on time, I would think that the carbon is not appeasing anymore. And if it's not appeasing, it's not kosher. I, b'chor, could be brought. The firstborn has nothing to do with appeasing. You have to give a gift to the kohen. You didn't give it earlier, you give it later. You have to give a wedding gift. You didn't give it the day of the wedding. You give it a month later. What's the difference? It's nothing to do with you getting somebody angry. You have to give a gift, A b'char is a gift, you have to give a gift. It's late, so what? It's still a kosher korban. But I couldn't learn out from b'char that an average korban that you're doing to appease Hashem, and then you bring it late, right? Maybe that couldn't be brought as a korban. So therefore I need our pasuk, v'hoye b'chachet, that if you bring it late, you sin, but the korban is still kosher. That's what the Gemara is learning. Now the Gemara says, Vakati, but still, the Gemara is Vakati mid Ben Azay Nafke. Top of the page. We can still learn it out from Ben Azay. Why do we learn out from Ben Azay? Ben Azay was also a very interesting person. Ben Azay was also one of the four that went into Pardis. But Ben Azay, Stam, it's interesting the history to know about these people. His name was Shimon Ben Azay. One of the reasons they called, we learned in Pirkei Avos and says Ben Zayma, Ben Azay. Ben Azay either was, why was he called, why wasn't he called Shimon Ben Azay? His name was Shimon. Because Rabbi Kiv had four students, all with the first name of Shimon. Shimon Ben Zayma, Shimon Ben Azay, Shimon Ben Nanis, and Shimon Atimani. Mm-hmm. So what do you call the same guy Shimon? So he called them by the last names. Ben Azay, Ben Zayma, Ben Nanis. No, that's one of the reasons. Another reason is Ben Azay was so brilliant that when he was a kid, he was already super brilliant. So like, when the kid's a little kid, people say, whose kid is he? He didn't have his own identity, like, whose son is he? So they said, Ben Azay. So the name stuck with him forever, Ben Azay. This Ben Azay married, according to, there's two opinions in the Gemara. One opinion is he never got married. Because he said, I gotta learn, I can't take this pressure with wives and families and supporting and...
Smart.
Is that, he said, he said, I understand there's a mitzvah pruvu, let other people do it, and I gotta learn to, that's what he said. Another opinion says that he married Rabbi Kiva's daughter, who's Rabbi Kiva's son-in-law, and he divorced her. And he said, Nafshi Choshka Bateira, he said, told his wife, he asked her permission, he said, listen, I can't be married, I gotta learn Torah, I can't be bothered by all this, you know, house stuff. And she divorced him. I mean, she allowed to become divorced. And the mother, the famous Rachel, who is Rabbi Kiva's wife, the famous Rachel is Rabbi Kiva's wife, according to this opinion, told the daughter, you're even greater than me. I married your husband for Torah, and you divorced your husband for Torah. So she, the mother told the daughter, you're even greater, because the famous Rachel, you know the story with Rachel, how she was the rich daughter, the daughter of the rich guy, Kappa Savua, and Rabbi Kiva was this so peasant. Anyway, Rabbi Kiva told his students, Shaliva Shalachem Shalohu. This Rachel, Rabbi Kiva's daughter Rachel, I mean Rabbi Kiva's wife Rachel, after 24 years that Rabbi Kiva came back, after he came back, you know, with 24,000 students, that eventually died during Sfira. But when he came back with 24,000 students, so the Gemara says in Ksubis that this lady was in tattered clothing, was pushing her way through the crowd to see her husband. And the students tried pushing her away. And Rabbi Kiva saw it, and she said to his students, Shali v'shalachem shalohu. Whatever I know, whatever you know, is because of her. So Rabbi Kiva's wife told his daughter, Mrs. Ben Azay, that you're even greater than me, because according to that opinion, because it's machlekes, he either never got married or got married and divorced her. But she told him that you're even greater than me because I married your husband for Torah, you divorced him for Torah.